God. When we walk in your power, God, we will not be shaken. When we walk in your authority, we will not be shaken. When we walk with you, God, nothing can shake us. We're planted firmly in you. And God, we thank you that you walk with us and that you lead us. Father, be with us today. Allow our ears to hear what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, team. Either I'm getting old and I couldn't see Ella's hand signals, or I don't know what's going on. Maybe she's not bright enough. Thanks, guys. That was awesome. So, I shared some exciting news with you guys about Focus Church. I think this is very exciting. Not just for each of us as a church body, but I think this is, should be considered very exciting for our community. It should be exciting for our community because we're gonna hear what is needed, maybe. We're going to hear where our gaps are, and we're going to do a bit of a gap analysis, and this is exciting. Because I've shared about it, how I've had this vision that God is lining the streets of Cars trying to come here and just be part of this amazing thing God's doing here. Mel shared with me when I first came here about this revival that had happened at this church and in this community in the 30s or 40s, right? We know God's done it before. We know God's going to do it again. And if we're part of it, if we get to be part of it, if I get to be a small piece of this with you guys, that's exciting. Right? It's exciting to be part of God's plans. So, this series may be cut a little shorter. We'll see how my reading plan goes with my new book that I have to read. And as we start the series, but we're going to have 2 to 3, maybe 4 weeks if you're lucky, of this series. I'm just kidding. You guys can laugh. Come on. You're not that tired. I know Nathan never laughs at my jokes. He just sits there and shakes his head. Stacy's the same. It's like they hear them one too many times. But if you want to take with your Bibles, we're going to turn to Haggai, however you want to say it. And if you're wondering, oh dear, where's Haggai? Don't worry, it's right before or right after Zephaniah and before Zechariah. So that should help you, right? Right? Also just before Malachi and Matthew. So some of us, some people, not you people, I'm sure, but some people wake up at some point in their life and they just expected more. You know, you're turning 40 and you're like, oh, I thought there'd be something different at 40. I thought it was going to be different. I certainly expected not to have any gray hair at 40, almost 40. I'm not even 40 yet. And some people wake up in the morning, they're like, I'm surprised at where I am in my life. I really thought things would be different. Or maybe you're turning 50 and you thought things are going to be different. Or maybe you're in college and you're like 23 years old. And you thought, oh, man, when I was 23, I thought things would be different. Or maybe you're, you know, whatever the age is, it doesn't matter. And maybe you thought things would look a little different. Maybe you thought there'd be more. Anyway, really it has nothing to do with my message, but it's just kind of interesting how people always think maybe there could be more. So Haggai. And I want to give you some backstory to Haggai before we talk about Haggai. How does that sound? Because most people don't know a lot about Haggai. So the backstory, there's a prequel to this great movie called Haggai. And during this 4-year reign of King Solomon, he started this construction of this magnificent temple, right? We've all read about this temple of King Solomon. And the temple was glorious, more glorious than anything you could have imagined. And people from all over the land would come and just to visit this temple and just spend time in God's presence in this temple. And it was amazing. But after King Solomon died, the people's hearts turned away from God. And they started getting distracted, and how we get distracted in the little things, like, oh, I can't find my screws, or, you know, oh, my oven broke, or, oh, my car got stolen, or my dog ran away, and, you know, any other line from a country song you can think of. We get distracted, though, right? And people got distracted then. And a series of events happened, and people turned from God. The people of Israel turned from God. And in 587 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar, who you've heard about, I'm sure, and his army crushed the southern kingdom of Judah, and they destroyed the temple. So not only was this completely humiliating, they were conquered, and then 20 years after they were conquered, Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom and Nebuchadnezzar's army went and destroyed the temple, and they grabbed these people and they took them. So not only were they taken, but to add insult to injury, their temple, where God was for them, where God dwelt, was destroyed. And it stripped away any spiritual identity that the people of Israel had. And they were devastated. So these people were taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. And they were in captivity for decades, for nearly 50 years. But technically, I guess they were in captivity for 70, because they were in captivity in their own land for 20 before the temple was destroyed, and then taken to Babylon for 50, so 70 years of captivity, right? Are you with me? I hope so. So after these 70 years, some people were allowed to go back to Jerusalem and were allowed to go and rebuild this temple. And some people, I mean 50,000 people, were allowed to travel back to Jerusalem. Finally, after 5 decades, after 70 years, I guess, they get to rebuild this temple, the house of God. 50 years destroyed, right? And the book of Ezra tells about the Jewish people who went back and they started to rebuild the temple for God. And they built the foundation and they built the altars. And then some Samaritans came along, and in the Samaritan way, they started to oppose the work. They started calling criticism to the work. They started being negative about what's happening at the temple. And all of a sudden, these Jewish people are like, oh no, this just got a little tough. It's a little difficult now. It must not be the right time for us to rebuild the temple. There's some opposition in the way. So they stopped. So that's the backstory before Haggai, however you want to say it. I'll accept either on the test. Don't worry. So for 5 decades, when they're in captivity, after the temple's destroyed, and they know it's destroyed, that is all the people of Israel could think about. 50 years, all you're thinking about is this destroyed temple. That's a great noise. It sounds like a train. And then they went back to start constructing this temple, and what happened? They faced some opposition, and they stopped. And for 14 years, they did nothing. Nothing. They put the project on hold. And what did they do? Instead of working in God's house, they went and started building their own houses. They started building their own kingdom. They started doing their own thing, caring about what mattered to them. And God raised up Haggai to call the people of Israel back to the task. Does that make sense? I hope this makes sense, because we're about to go. Haggai 1:2 says, "This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house." I love that. I find that so funny. You find that funny? I find it funny for a couple reasons, and I'm going to share one of my reasons why I find this so funny. Maybe you'll laugh too. Maybe you'll think I'm not very funny, but hey, I find it funny. And I have the microphone. So, most of us have a spouse, or we're kids, so we've heard our parents say something like this. Like sometimes when I come home, Stacy's like, "Dave, your kids did this." Or when I do something, or the kids do something, and Stacy comes home, I'm like, "Stacy, look what your kids did." Now, God's not obviously married, right? So he has nobody else to say, look what your kids did. Look what your kids say the places. So instead of saying, my people, he says, these people. That's why I think it's funny, because this would be like Stacy saying, your kids said the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. That's kind of what it is. How many times have you read in the Bible where God says, these people? Most of the times it's my people, my children, right? But these people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Anybody else ever hear that from their spouse? Anybody else ever say that? I might have said it once. Your kids have made the vehicle a mess, and now we have a mouse. There's no truth there. So, God's like, these people, they're not my people. These people are saying the time has not yet come to rebuild the temple. The time is not now. Now, why did they think the time wasn't now? They thought the time wasn't now because maybe they faced a little opposition. Maybe people weren't ready for it around them. Have you ever thought that maybe if the people around you aren't ready for it, maybe either they haven't listened to what God is saying, or they're just not ready for an active move of God? Maybe they're not willing to accept what God has for them fully. Maybe they're not willing to walk in the greatness of what God is bringing us into. There's a line, and I was going to put the video on here, but Nathan shared a great video with me the one time, and I was like, I watched it a few times the past couple weeks as I was preparing. And it was from the show Remember the Titans. You know which video scene I'm talking about? So there's a scene, if you've ever never watched this movie, I'm going to give you a little spoiler. So they're in this championship-type game, and they're trying to swindle this team of mixed team of blacks and whites. They're trying to swindle them out of the win. So they promise the assistant coach, who used to be the head coach, very twisting, I know, a job at a good job as a head coach again, but he just had to turn a blind eye. And the refs are calling penalty after penalty, holding after holding, you know, just penalty after penalty, and they couldn't succeed. They couldn't move forward. And the assistant coach could see the team was getting beat up. He could see the fans were getting beat up. And he just kind of, he's had enough, and he said, enough is enough. The time's now. And so he yells, Cletus, which was the head referee's name, and he tells him, I know what you're doing, and it's done. Or I'm telling everyone what you've been up to. And then he calls his team together, and he huddles them together, and he's like, okay, boys, the time's now. We're not stopping. We're going to blitz all night. And they had some guy throw some doubt in the group. And he's like, but coach, they're calling me every time, holding. Don't worry about it. Blitz all night is what he said. And the guy got mad. He didn't like the plan. Takes his helmet off and walks away. And what does the coach say? Forget about him. You're in now. Let's go. We got a job to do. We got work. We're going to blitz all night. Guys, that's what I'm calling you. The time is now. We are about to blitz all night. Okay? If I can give you a football analogy, we're about to blitz all night. I'm excited about this. Wow. Guys, we're not backing down. Just like Haggai was trying to encourage these guys not to back down. Sometimes it gets hard. Sometimes people don't want to come alongside what God's doing. And that's okay. Because in the end, we're going to blitz all night. And we're going to do it together. Okay? Are you with me so far? I want to encourage you. Sometimes you might say, it's hard. But Pastor Dave, like so-and-so just left, or so-and-so is arguing with this, or, you know, I'm trying to share this and they're just not listening. Don't worry about it. We're going to blitz all night. That's going to be my same all day. You're going to hear it all day. What are we going to do? We're going to blitz all night. We know that God is not against us, right? We pray about it. We believe it with everything in our spirit. And then we know that God is moving us to something greater. And we're going to what? We're going to blitz all night. So here's the thing, though, guys. When we blitz all night, we have to choose the hard right over the easy wrong sometimes. Sometimes we're going to have to make a choice. And sometimes that choice is the hard right over doing what's easy and what's wrong. Sometimes, like this church in Melville we just talked about, that made the hard choice to remove the pews. Might seem like an insignificant thing to us that have chairs already, but at one time when you guys sold your building, I'm sure that was a hard right. When we decided as a church, well, before me, but when you decided to buy this building into more of a multifunction space, that was probably, right, Lyle? Was it a challenging time? Probably some opposition came up. But you know what? What did we do? We're going to blitz all night. Over and over again. Just tell yourself, God, with your help, enable me, empower me, give me boldness, give me faith to choose the hard right over the easy wrong. See, when things get tough, what happens? We start losing focus, don't we? Just like what happened before Israel turned their back on God the first time. They quit focusing on God and they started focusing on themselves. Because it's easy to focus on me. Let me tell you, look at this hair. I need a haircut. My brother tells me all the time through Christmas, told me to get a haircut, you hippie. But we need to choose the hard right over the easy wrong. It'd be so easy when you guys bought this building, when you sold the other building, to say, oh, we're hurting some people's feelings. Some people are upset. Some people are offended by what's happening, by the direction we're trying to go to be more community-minded, by the decision that Melville made to want to be more community-minded, so as such, they're trying to create a multi-purpose space, right? It'd be easy to get upset and offended, and then for us to back off and say, well, we don't want to offend anybody. You know, we're here to love everyone, and it's all good. No, sometimes people might get offended. Are they in it for them, or are they in it for God? That's the question we need to ask sometimes. We don't want to go hurt somebody's feelings on purpose and call them a ninny runner. But we want to love them. But sometimes decisions that need to be made and things that need to happen might upset people. Do you agree? And sometimes we need to shake things up a little bit. So that's what the prophet is going to help these people do. And he's going to empower these people to do. And he tells them, essentially, the time is now. We have an assignment here, don't we? To love these people of our town. To encourage them, to tell them about Jesus through our living and through our words. We have opportunities and we have a mission to do it. Right here, right now, the time is now. And we're going to blitz all night. We're not stopping, guys. We're not backing down. The time is now. Maybe God told you somebody you needed to minister to 14, 20 years ago, whatever, 15 years ago, yesterday, and you didn't. It's not too late. If you have that, take the opportunity now, call them, and show them Jesus' love through your life. Tell them about Jesus. We're not backing down. We're taking this city by force, or this town by force. We're taken by force for Jesus. And the time is now because we're going to blitz all night. Maybe you have something in your life that you've made a couple bad decisions. Maybe you've got some unspoken sin. Maybe you're holding some grudges right now against some people. It's easy to hold grudges. You know what's hard? It's hard to forgive as Christ forgave. Maybe you've made some bad choices in your life and you're following the crowd a little bit. It's easy to follow the crowd. It's the hard right is to not conform. It's easy to get discouraged when people are coming against you or coming against what's happening. I heard the stupidest thing, and I'm going to share this. Maybe I shouldn't share from the pulpit, but I think I got the microphone. But somebody, I heard somebody say, and it was just shared as a story, that somebody at one time said that, you don't want to go to that church. That's where all the poor people go. You don't want to go there. Let me tell you something, folks. We're going to blitz all night. God has blessed this church abundantly. We have abundant stuff. We have amazingly abundant, more than we could ever imagine here. We're not the poor people. If they want to walk away and say, you know what, that's where the poor people go. I want nothing to do with that. We're going to blitz all night because we got Jesus. We've got awesome equipment. We've got amazing people. We got love. Did I say we got Jesus? Because we got Jesus, we got a double portion of Jesus. And we're not going to stop. And if people want to leave, they're missing out. They're going to walk in less because they won't have the experience of what Jesus is doing here. And that's unfortunate. But that's not on us. But God is going to stir us to something new. The time is now. The time is now to start doing something, to get moving for God. The time is now. So I got a scripture. My signal's not working. Is it this? Haggai 1:3-5 says, then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains in ruins? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. What does that mean? See, these folks walked away. The church wasn't done. There's still work to be done. And what were they focused on? They're focused on me. They were working on their paneled houses. They were living in their paneled houses. What's a paneled house? It's a pretty high-end house, guys. They're living in mansions while Jesus' house is in ruins. And we can equate that to today, of us running around trying to build our kingdom, build our name, build this, build that. Guys, did you hear about my house? I'm not tithing right now, but I'm building a new house. It's going to have 22 bathrooms, and each bathroom is going to have a big projector, surround sound, TV, you know, PlayStation 3, just in case you're not feeling good, whatever. You're going to have it all. Meanwhile, I'm leaving God's house in ruins, and I'm not tithing. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm not at church helping. I'm not serving in the community. I'm not serving here. I'm not serving you, and we're not serving each other. See, these people were living pretty high-end living. Now, I want to be perfectly clear when I say this. God is not calling you to poverty either. God wants you to have nice things. God loves blessing his kids. I love getting Christmas presents from my parents still. Right? They want us to have nice things. God wants you to live a blessed life, but you need to make that choice. What he doesn't want you to do, though, is he doesn't want you to put those nice things before him. That's what we can't do. It's like that people always try to say, well, first off, we're the poor church, right? Don't forget that, guys. We're the poor church. Second off, money's evil. Didn't you read that in the Bible? No, it says the love of money. It means putting money before God, putting your stuff before God. That's what's wrong with the situation. Put your priorities right. What area of your life are you not putting God first? See, I want us to be a church who are consumed with others, who are consumed with what God is doing, and who want to be part of what God is doing before we're concerned about ourselves. I want us to be a church that is more concerned with our neighbor down the street than us. I want us to be a church that is on fire for Jesus and ready to share his love because that is what we're called to do. I want us to be a church that's not worried about making a name for ourselves, and we'd be concerned for making a difference in our town for Jesus. So if we keep reading in that scripture, in verse 6, it says, you have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink but never have your fill. You put on clothes but are never warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. We're going to stop there. Maybe there's people in life that just struggle through life. A modern day translation of this would be, you're working your butt off. Can I say butt? We'll say butt as New Year's Eve. After tomorrow, it's forgotten. You're working your butt off. You're trying to get ahead. And you can't. You're running in circles, trying to do whatever you need to do to keep moving. But you think you're moving forward, but you're actually just staying in the same place or moving backwards. You're pouring your life into your job or into your career, and it's just empty. Your life just feels hollow. Things are just not happening. You're making more than you ever have, but you still don't have enough, or you're not satisfied. You know, you go and entertain yourself at games or movies or go all out and buy whatever you want. But you're still longing for something more. There's people like that. And when people are like that, there's the philosopher, I'm not sure of his last name, but Dr. Phil, you may have heard of this philosopher. And Dr. Phil would often ask people when they're telling them and pouring out what's going on and why they're just not fulfilled. And what's Dr. Phil's favorite answer? How's that working for you? Right? How is that working for you? When you're running about, doing your thing, living life how you think you should be living, not doing what God called us to do, to build his house. Is there unfinished business that God has led you to do and you're not doing it? See, verse 7 and 8, as we continue on this reading, this is cool to me. He's such a loving God. He's so good. And they're looking, oh, we got to build this temple. We don't feel good enough to do it, though. We don't want the opposition. There's opposition. It's tough. I don't want to do it. It's difficult. There's challenges. There's challenges to ministry. There's challenges to reaching out of these walls. I don't want to do it, God. How do I do it? I don't even know where to begin. I don't know how to begin building your temple. And what does God say? How loving our God is. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. So here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you some instructions. Number one, I want you to go up to the mountain. Climb that mountain. Go up there. Number two instruction, cut down some trees and bring some timber down. And number three, build my house. Think about that. See, these people didn't even know where to begin. Oftentimes, we don't know where to begin in building his house. But God says, this is how much I love you. I'm going to make it very simple for you. I'm going to give steps one, two, and three. Okay, ready? Here. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go up the mountain, bring down the timber, and build my house. One, two, three. But what about four, five, and six? I don't know those next steps. It doesn't matter. Go up the mountain, get some timber, build my house. I'll fill my house. I'll do what needs to happen after. Just build my house. Do what I've called you to do. So how do you follow God's will in your life? How do we do something in this community? We're going to do it together, first off, and we're going to blitz all night. We're not going to stop. We're going to go step by step. We're going to make hard rights instead of easy wrongs as a church. We're doing this together. I can't do it. If you're expecting me to do it, I'll tell you what. Sometimes a safety blitz works. Most times it doesn't. You need the whole line. You need everybody working on that line to make the blitz work, don't you? But together, we can blitz all night. Guys, if I have to call Cletus back over here and tell him what's going to happen, I will. But I want you to remember that we're going to blitz all night. And we're going to do it together. See, the thing is it's time for us to quit talking about it, and it's time for us to start doing it. It's time for us to start going out there and ministering to people. There's people that have hurt all this year. Rosetown's been hit hard this year, right? We all know it. We've all read the news, we've seen the news, we've know people. We've talked to people. Our community is hurting. They need Jesus. And you know what we need to do? We need to show Jesus in our lives. We need to blitz all night. See, the other side of this is, though, here's the thing. I talk a lot about out there, but we have wounded in here that need love, that need us to rally around them, to encourage them. We need to get them healthy so that we can blitz all night together, right? See, this isn't a one. This is a 1-2. I think I talked to you guys about my two-step, my dance. 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. I don't even know the two-step, but Audrey, you can tell me it later with your, we'll be good. Did Cowboys do that, right? Okay. Good. It's time for us to start doing and stop talking. Quit talking, start doing. Quit talking, start doing. We're going to blitz all night. Go up the mountain! Well, that's hard. You know, mountains are steep to climb. Have you ever tried to climb a mountain? They're hard, especially in flip-flops. Right? Not easy. But we're going to choose the hard right over the easy wrong. See, Jesus makes it easy-er. He'll carry on. He'll pull you up that mountain when you're going and you're like, I can't go anymore. He'll be there and he'll pull you. He'll give you a boost. Don't worry. Trust in him. Have faith in him. Praise him. Pray to him. But we need to make the choice to go. We need to quit talking and start doing. We need to what? Blitz all night. Right? Well, you're getting it. We're going to bring down the timber. That's hard again. Timber's heavy, right? Like, you look at some of those timber to build a building, especially back then, that was heavy. Choose the hard right over the easy wrong. It'd be much easier let's not build the temple. It's an open air church today. Because, you know, the timber's too heavy. I don't want to do the work. Choose the hard right. God will help you. God will give you favor and God will bless you. But you need to make the choice to do the hard right. Now we got to build this temple. Now that I'm down, guys, I just climbed up that mountain. I just brought the timber down. And now I've got to build a temple? Wait, okay. If I'm going to do this, though, do I get a tax write-off for it? Can I have naming rights? Like, the Misco Chapel. That sounds nice. It's got a nice ring to it, right? No. God, what do you have me to do? Build the temple. Okay, let's go up the mountain. Let's get some timber and let's build this temple. Okay? Together. Because what are we going to do? See, I'm not going to let this go. I'll remind you next week too. See, steps after that, all sort themselves out. God just wants you to start. And we talked about this last New Year's, but I'm reminding you this New Year's, we need to start. We need to stop talking and start doing. We need to start working. You don't need the details. You just need to start. See, here's the thing. What does Scripture tell us about His Word and about Him? He is a light unto our path. He will light our feet. He provides the way when we look to Him. If His word is our lamp unto our feet, He may show us one step at a time. Maybe He'll show us two steps. Maybe He'll show us three. Maybe He'll show us the whole freaking path. But the awesome thing is we know He's going to show us. And when He shows us, because He showed us the playbook, and do you know what the first play is in the playbook? Do you guys know? Because it's the blitz all night. That's the first play. We're going to blitz all night. Guys, this is good stuff. I hope you're excited. Because you don't sound excited. I'm excited. We're going to blitz all night. Rosetown is not going to be the same because we're going to blitz all night. Did you know that? The enemy's going to be defeated because we're going to blitz all night. See, I didn't finish the story. of the football game. So after the coach talked to Cletus and he talked to the team and they were rallied and they were ready to go, that other team never scored another point. It was a blowout for the Titans. They blew that other team out. Because when you blitz all night, the enemy can't stop you. When you're blitzing with Jesus, man, what a blitz, what a play. And we can't stop. Because if we stop, we're just going to be idle. And why? What are we doing? What are we here for? If we're not blitzing, you know what? I don't know why I bought a house here. I don't know why we got this beautiful building for the community. If we're not willing to get out there and say, you need Jesus, and oh, by the way, you need Jesus, or like, oh, and you need Jesus, and we need Jesus, and we need to build each other up, but we need to get out to the community too. We need to do it all together in our two-step. Right? See, this doesn't work for one of us. This works for all of us. This works together. See, it would have been very easy for Haggai to go up and build the go up the mountain, bring the wood down, build the temple. How Nehemiah started building the wall, right? But he was telling the people, guys, you need to go. We need to go up that mountain. We need to get the wood. We need to bring it down. And we need to build this temple together. Because they blitzed all night. See, we're going to be digging deeper this year. As a church, we're going to start talking about making some hard rights as we go through this process with the district. We're going to talk about some hard rights. We're going to be digging deep. And we can't stop until every person in Rosetown hears about Jesus, until they experience Jesus through us, until we're full. We have multiple services until the Alliance Church is full. I don't care what church they go to as long as they know Jesus. Jesus will take care of those steps. I know that He is bringing revival to us. Do you want to be part of it? Do you want to be part of this move? Then let's go up the mountain. Let's get the wood. Let's get the timbers. And let's build this temple. But what if they don't respond? It would be very easy for me to say, what if you guys don't respond? What if you don't care about blitzing? What if you want to tackle in the backfield? Well, you're going to give up yards all day, and they're going to score eventually. But when you're blitzing, you catch them in their backfield, and you start driving that ball back, and you start scoring points for Jesus. We need to start taking some hard rights and start living some faith-based lives. Faith-based life. We need to start living how Jesus would call us to live. We need to start doing like we sang today and standing on His promises. We need to start believing those promises are for each and every one of us. Well, weren't those just for Israel? No, because we became children of Abraham after we got saved, did we not? So if we do, all those promises are ours, are they not? So then why are we not living on them? Why are we not standing on them? Why aren't we acting them out? Just like that. We need to get up that mountain, get the timbers, and get this place built. The time is now. Mary, you guys and the team can come up. Get your move on. Because we are on the move. As a church, we're moving to something, guys. I want you to be excited. I hope you're excited. Because something big is coming. See, 2018, I think we had a great year as a church. We had some new people come. We got to know some new friends. I think it was great. We got to interact with our community in new ways. We had tons of people come for our ministry opportunities where we had different movie nights. When we had a comedian come in. We had a concert. We had our community warm-up station where we had double the people we had last year. We had tons of touch points to share Jesus' love. And I thank you all for being here to support that and to share Jesus' love at these events. It was great. It was great. We had more people come through the doors for other things. But here's the thing. That was just the beginning. God is at work and we want to follow His play call. And what's His play call? We're going to blitz all night. Guys, 2018, you might have been tired. 2019, we are going to blitz all night. Not stopping. We're not relenting. We're not going to back down. We are going to step forward, one step at a time, moving forward, forward, forward. It's a progression. You don't back down. You don't give up yards. You keep going and you blitz all night. I pray you're ready. I pray you're ready. Guys, because 2019, Jesus is coming back soon. I need to say this. And if we're not ready and we don't get them ready, they're missing out. And Jesus is coming back. Completely off topic. But it has everything to do with the topic. Because if we back up, we give up ground, and we're not taking ground for the King, people are going to go to hell. And that should break our heart. So you know what we need to do? Together, we need to go up the mountain, we need to get some timber, and we need to build the temple. We need to get our move on. We need to get to work for Jesus, and we need to blitz all night. Would you guys stand as we pray? Father, I pray that the words that I shared, Father, that you gave me, God, I pray that we will have stirred somebody's heart. God, that you will stir us to doing your work, that you will give us some excitement, Father, to get to work for you. God, that we will stop talking about it and we will start doing it. God, that you will give us opportunities and chances. And Father, I pray each and every one of us together, we will do that. Not only just out there, but in here. That we will build each other up. That we will love each other. That we will encourage each other. That we will get there together. Jesus, be with us as we celebrate the new year and the new things you're going to do here. The excitement you're going to bring. Father, we love you so much and you are such a good God. We trust you. We give you all praise and all glory for what you've done for us in 2018. And we are excited for 2019. In Jesus' name, amen. Mary, would you guys lead us and then you can close in prayer.